Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
What a shot. Sunrise in the desert is spectacular, but then so is every minute of the day out here. We're in the Sonoran Desert in Arizona, the most lush and green desert in the world. Most people think of deserts as sand dunes, where it's so dry nothing grows, but that's not true. Over the years, plants and animals have developed ways to survive or adapt to the desert. And there are plenty of plants and animals here. Deserts are dry because they get less than 10 inches of rain a year. So if you visit the desert, come prepared. Always carry your own water. And wear clothes like these, light colors to reflect the hot sun. A hat, very important. And long pants and sleeves to keep your body's moisture in. It sort of air conditions you in the heat. And you should always look out for cactus. This is a saguaro cactus, the Sonoran's most famous tree. Saguaros are real old-timers out here. This one's well over 100 years old, and they're experts on desert survival. They also help other critters stay alive in the desert. Here's how. In this book, Desert Giant, The World of the Saguaro Cactus.
Desert Giant. The World of the Saguaro Cactus by Barbara Bash, read by Philip Bosco. Strange and wonderful tree grows in the desert. It's called a saguaro cactus. The saguaro grows in the Sonoran Desert, which stretches through parts of Arizona, California, and Mexico. This cactus can grow as tall as 50 feet, weigh up to several tons, and live for 200 years. The saguaro's sharp spines protect it from harm. The accordion-like pleats in its skin expand in the rain, storing extra water for the long, dry times. Tap, 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 tap. The holes you see in the saguaro trunk are made by the carpenter bird, the Gila woodpecker. In the spring, the male pecks deeply into the soft flesh of the cactus to make a room for his mate's eggs to hatch. The saguaro flesh forms a hard, callous lining around the nests. When the cactus dies, these hollow forms are left behind. They are called saguaro boots by the Indians, who use them as food containers. When the Gila woodpecker moves out of its nest, the elf owl moves in. This is the tiniest owl in the world. Because of the thick lining and the moisture stored in the saguaro's flesh, the nest stays cool even on the hottest days. Harris hawks are the largest birds to make their homes in the saguaro. They raise their young in nests of twigs lined with leaves and grasses. Sometimes the hawks use each other as perches. This is called backstanding. At night in May, the saguaro blossoms. Buds emerge and open into large, milky white flowers. Bats drink the flower's nectar. Each flower opens only once in the cool of the night and closes by the following afternoon. White-winged doves appear to drink nectar too. A queen butterfly alights on a petal and a bee circles around. Every creature that drinks the nectar picks up pollen and carries it on to fertilize the next flower. When the flower is fertilized, the fruit can begin to form. By June, the saguaro blossoms have dried and fruit has formed. The seeds ripen and the fruit splits open, revealing its bright red insides. As they've been doing for centuries, the Tohono O'odham Indians begin the saguaro fruit harvest. The children try to catch the fruit as it falls. Sometimes they steal a taste of the sweet, juicy pulp. As the fruit is knocked down, the women scoop the bright red pulp into buckets. They leave the red outer hulls behind on the ground, open and facing up to the sky. This is the O'odham offering for rain. The O'odham men gather wood for a fire, and the old women remove pebbles from the fruit pulp. Then the pulp is mixed with water and cooked for a long time until it is thick and sweet. Finally, the cooked pulp is poured through wire mesh to separate the juice from the seeds. The O'odham make jams and candies, syrups and wines out of the saguaro fruit. Harvest is a time of celebration. At night, more fruit falls, and a coyote arrives to lick the pulp out of the rinds. Nearby, some javelina pigs grunt and snort as they scoop up the sweet fruit. Everyone loves saguaro fruit. After providing food and homes for so many creatures, the saguaro eventually dies. The flesh falls away, exposing the ribs, which spread out like a big whisk broom. Or the saguaro falls to the ground where it gradually decomposes. While one saguaro dies, another begins its new life. The only saguaros that survive grow in the shelter of a nurse plant. The larger tree protects the young saguaro until the saguaro is strong enough to stand alone. By the time it is 150 years old, the cactus giant towers quietly over the desert.
Saguaros are very impressive. Let's take a closer look at this one. Ouch! These spines are sharp, but they're here for a reason. They keep animals from snacking on the cactus. They also cast shade to protect it from the sun. You see these pleats? When it rains, the cactus absorbs water and these pleats expand. When this happens, the saguaro can swell to twice its normal width. The moisture comes up from the roots and this waxy coat seals it in. That way the cactus has water to live on all year long. There's a woodpecker hole just like in the book. Hey, anybody home? Come on out, I'll take your picture. You must be camera shy. But you know, the saguaro isn't the only cactus here in the desert. And if I want pictures of some, I'd better get snapping. You know, plants aren't the only ones that have learned to adapt to the desert. Animals have too. And here's an inside look at some of their best survival techniques.
I'm a jackrabbit, and the secret to my success is my ears. They may be long, but they're thin. So I can use them to give off extra body heat, and that keeps me cool.
A smarty like me, the kangaroo rat, scoots underground to avoid the heat. Then I eat seeds, because I know how to get the water out of seeds. It's tricky, but I can do it, and it quenches my thirst.
Lizards keep cool by staying out of the sun. I like the shade of a rocky ledge, even if I have to share it.
When javelinas are thirsty, we don't need a water hole. We just find a juicy cactus and eat it, prickles and spines and all. Cactus fruit is a real treat.
I'm a roadrunner, and like lots of desert animals, I get all my water from my food. So all I have to do is find something tasty to eat, like a snake, and figure out how to catch it. Maybe dancing around a bit will work. Yes, lunchtime.
As far as I'm concerned, a wise bird is a cool bird. And one of the coolest places in the desert is inside a saguaro cactus.
You see, the saguaro's flesh is thick with water, which air conditions a bird's home. We love our cactus high-rise. And the view is spectacular.
Many desert animals, like me, the bobcat, survive the heat by hunting in the cool of the night.
We sidewinders are night animals, too. And we know how to move sideways to get the best grip on the dry, loose desert floor.
A Gila monster survives by storing water in its fat tail. Our favorite time to hunt is early morning, but when the sun comes up, we head for home.
Desert animals are very shy. If they see you, they'll run and hide. Most of them couldn't hurt you anyway, but some are very dangerous, so it's best to keep your distance. Unless you're a herpetologist like Jerry Brewer, an expert on snakes.
Hi, my name's Jerry Brewer. Most people call me the Snake Man, because I love snakes. Let's go look for some now. People are afraid of snakes because they're quick, they're agile, and some are venomous. But with a little bit of knowledge, you find that these are very docile, gentle, and wonderful creatures. It comes so easy for me to understand everything in the desert, and especially snakes. I love the desert. Maybe the fact that I'm an Indian might have something to do with my love of the desert. Oh, look at here. This is great. This apparently is a denning area. There's many western diamondback rattlesnakes here. Look at the length on this big fella. Well, this animal here, he's 5 feet or longer. Beautiful creature. Look at the extremely long rattle on this one. Now let's take a look at the eye here. The eye is like a cat eye. The center of the eye is a slit, and this slit will enlarge when it is dark to let in all the available light when it's out hunting its rats and its rodents during the evening. And located between the nostril and the eye are two large facial pits on each side of the face. These actually detect the warmth of a rat or a rabbit's body. And this is how he finds his food, by using heat-seeking pits. The fangs of a snake are actually just big elongated teeth, and they're hollow. And this is what the venom comes down through when the snake lunges out and bites its food. You can see a little of the venom starting to come out of this fang. As you can see here also, a rattlesnake can open his mouth a full 90 degrees. His mouth will go all the way. This enables the snake to eat large prey in one big whole chunk. It's kind of like us trying to swallow a whole big watermelon all in one big gulp. And it doesn't hurt this lower jaw. The lower jaw can move left, and the lower jaw can move right, because it's a floating jaw. Now, a snake is covered with scales, and these scales are in rows. And in between the scales, it's like elastic, just like in the top of your underwear. See how the skin stretches here? Now, this doesn't hurt the animal. They're made this way so they can swallow everything whole. You can see here the scales are on the top here are different than they are on the bottom, because on the bottom, they're nice and smooth. You see how they go across. And his belly scales help him crawl over bushes and rocks. And all of his scales are waterproof. So all snakes are good swimmers. They're excellent swimmers. If you look down here on the bottom, we can see right here where this stops. And there's another row of scales which start right here. And this is where his tail actually starts. And on the western diamondback rattlesnake, he has a black and white banded tail. And on the end of his tail, this is his rattle. And this is nothing more than dead skin. And each time a rattlesnake sheds, it gets a new rattle. Rattlesnakes rattle because they're nervous. And the rattle on the end from each shedding makes the noise when they wiggle their tail. So if you do see a snake, enjoy his presence and leave him alone. But enjoy him while you have him there. Now this guy's been real good for us. We're going to take him over here and put him back to where he belongs and bid him farewell and good day. Now he's back in his home. That's where he belongs. Hopefully that's where he'll stay. Goodbye.
There are only 4 deserts in the United States, so most of us don't live near one. But you can explore the desert without ever leaving home. Find a really warm patch of sun and curl up in it with these books. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, my name is Jennifer. Some people think that snakes are slimy and disgusting, but if you look on the other hand, they can be very interesting. Here's a book that will help. It's called Snakes Are Hunters. Snakes are hunters because they like to eat, and they eat live prey, except the ones that squeeze their prey to death, like the corn snake. There are more than 3,000 kinds of snakes, like garter snakes, rattlers, king cobras, and black rat snakes, just to name a few. I think it's funny that snakes shed their skin. Because after they do it, the skin still looks like them, but they're not in it. I don't think I would have a pet snake, but they are very fascinating animals. To learn more about them, read Snakes Are Hunters.
How you doing, everybody? My name's Rafael Diaz, and I'm here to tell you about an excellent book called A Living Desert. And wait till you see these great desert animals. All the animals in this book live in the Sonoran Desert in Arizona. It's a huge desert, 120,000 square miles. What's neat about desert animals is how they each adapt to such a dry place. The mountain lion sleeps in the day to conserve energy, and he hunts at night when it's cool. The photographs are some of the best I've seen. Great close-ups of fascinating animals. This book made me want to visit the desert, and I'm sure it'll do the same for you. So don't be dry and give it a try.
If you're one of those people that thinks that a desert is just a hot and sandy place, you should read this book, Cactus. It's about all the beautiful plants in the desert and how they survive. A cactus may have to go a whole year without water. It has a spongy inside so that it can store water for a very long time. A cactus has spines so that it can protect itself from a hungry animal and shade it from the sun, which could dry it up. I'm Jenny Levine. If you want to find out more about cacti, this book is for you.
You know, a month from now, this desert will look completely different. And in 3 months, it'll change all over again. That's because the desert has seasons, and its transformations are truly remarkable.
Hot sun burning in the desert sky. Heat waves rising, it's very dry, and it's hard to imagine that the desert changes seasons too. But in the spring, the cactus bloom and flowers grow. In the summer, it rains, and the winter brings snow. It's a place filled with wonder, changing the whole year through. Start all over again. When the winter turns to spring, renewing life for everything. It's always beginning, and like a circle, it never ends. Summer, fall, winter, spring, renewing life for everything. It's always beginning, and like a circle, it never ends.
Well, that sun is setting, and I'll be heading home, but I won't forget what I've seen here today. It's just amazing how living things will find a way to survive, no matter how difficult the circumstances. Even the desert is filled with life because of nature's incredible ability to adapt. There. As for me, I'm leaving the desert just as I found it, not taking out more than I brought in, except for what's in my camera. See you next time.
Shh. circle, it never ends.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Desert Giant, The World of the Saguaro Cactus by Barbara Bash, published by Sierra Club Books, Little Brown. Snakes Are Hunters by Patricia Lauber, illustrated by Holly Keller, published by Thomas Y. Kroll. A Living Desert by Guy J. Spencer, photos by Tim Fuller, published by Troll Associates. Cactus by Cynthia Overbeck, photos by Chabot Hani, published by Lerner Publications Company.